Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Tonight, I want to talk about speaking words of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Actually, you know, you think about much of faith has to do with your speech. If you think about this now, if you'll speak the word today, come on, it's always, I'm getting something going on here. Amen. If you'll speak the word today and give it time to work. In other words, what you say today will show up about 5 years, whatever it may be. It will show up in the future. Why? Because faith is the words, they're containers of your faith. They're seeds, and you're planting today for a future harvest. So you're building, you're framing your words create for you. So as you're walking the path that God has ordained for you, and you're speaking God's word, listen, provision will be there.
Amen.
It will be there. Your words are taking you places. Your words, listen. Well, we're going to turn. Go ahead and turn with me to James chapter 3. All right. Amen. James chapter 3, we'll just jump right in here in verse 2. You know, a lot of people say, well, Brother Chuck, words aren't that important. Well, listen, you got to remember who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to remember, well, actually, we should go back to Genesis, but I'll just say this. In Genesis, when God breathed life into man, scholars said, you read some of the Hebrew scholars, and they will say, not only did he become a living spirit, that man became a speaking spirit made in the image and likeness of God. Amen. Are words important? Yes. They are very important. Actually, the Bible says, we're going to get into this. This is part one, speaking words of faith. But your words, the Bible said, death and life are in the power of the word. Your tongue, what you're talking, what you're speaking, your word. It's going forth from you. I'm going to stay up here. Getting a ringing. Amen. James chapter 3. We'll just jump in verse 2. It says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word. Now get this. Now this is how important words are. It says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Now listen to this. Now, that word perfect means mature. It means fully developed. We could say this, we could say Jesus, when he walked this earth, he was fully developed. When he spoke something, things happened. Well, Brother Chuck, now why is it then when I say something or someone says, like, okay, for instance, now this is pretty common. I used to say this all the time. My back is killing me. I got a splitting headache. All these words of fear, I mean, they're not doing you any good. So anyway, but here's the thing. I didn't fall over dead. Hold it now. I spoke words. But I didn't fall over dead. Well, thank God. If that was true, no one would be here. The church wouldn't be here. The saints would be in heaven. But God's merciful, and it's about progression. It's about growth. And this, what he's saying here is, and let me say this before going further. To develop this, to be fully developed, you will have to be, your mind will have to be renewed. It's going to have to be renewed. That's a daily chore. That is daily in the Word. Don't think spending time in the Word is a waste of time. It's changing your thought pattern. Because what the devil will do, and he's really good at this, he'll put thoughts in your mind that's not yours. Well, why would he do that? To get you to take it. By speaking the negative, that's all it is, negative, fear-based words. That is called the spirit of fear. Now, on the other side, we have the spirit of faith, faith-filled words. And those words will take you places where you want to be. Those are the words you meditate on. God's Word, His Word's His thought. Yeah, right. So the more we renew His Word, the more we'll have His thoughts. Yeah. And we can distinguish between God's thoughts and the devil's thoughts. When the devil throws something into your mind, aha, that's not God's thought. Then you cast that thought down. See, a lot of people don't believe this. Why is it that a lot of people don't believe this? Because they speak everything that comes across their mind. They don't matter. It does matter. If you want to be mature, you're going to have to control the mouth. Snared by the words of your mouth. And the enemy knows this. He knows. Listen, we're in Christ. We're not just anybody. We are, you know, okay, let me say this. Saved, unsaved, you're a speaking spirit. Unsaved, you're just going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. We're saved on our way to heaven, so might as well have some heaven on this earth. Amen. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to speak God's thoughts. You're going to send your word. Amen. According to the Word of God. You're going to send it out in your life, and it's going to affect your life down the road. Now, I am not saying, well, I'm going to speak and I'm going to get instant results. That could be, it could be, but most of the time it's a slow turn. Amen. It's a slow turn. So this is what we're trying to achieve, is to be fully mature in Word. The words that we speak. James chapter 1, he says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Make your words count. I've been around people at work, and they're Christians, but they're talking. You're around them, and they wear you out. They're talking so much, and half the stuff you don't remember. 2/3 of you don't remember because it didn't amount to nothing. They're a lot of idle words, and we know idle words. We don't have time to get there, but they're non-productive words. They're not doing you any good. So why are you saying all these words? Just say what you mean and let it go. Come on. You know, just speak and expect. So you get into the Word. Listen, when we speak the Word, we should be expecting some results. That's the reason why your words should have weight. They should carry something. When you speak, you're expecting, because you're in this Word, you made a deposit on the inside of you. A good man out of the good treasure, that treasure means deposit, out of the deposit of the heart. Who's going to do that? Huh? God's not going to do that. That's you. That's the renewing of the mind, putting the Word in you in a deposit. So why? Why? So that you can bring forth good things. Well, then Jesus talked about the opposite. An evil man brings forth what he's deposited. So we want to make sure we deposit the good word within us, so that we can make the withdrawal to bring forth what we want. See, this is how God operates. Let's go on. Let's get into this. Let's move on. Okay. Verse 3. Indeed, and then he's going to give you some reasons why we should watch what we say, because your words are taking you places. It goes on. Verse 3. It says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and that we... Now, Now, you also underline this. And we turn their whole body. Look at the ships. Although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. So he's talking about a horse. A horse, I mean, I've seen them turn a horse on a dime. But a ship, it takes a little bit. Your words are taking you. And just because you're speaking, it may seem like nothing's moving. It may seem like I'm heading in the same direction. Hold it now. You gotta give it time. Right. Like if you're in debt, you gotta give that time to work. Come on. Don't get, well, I never get out of debt. Wait a minute. Who said that? They ain't God's word. You know what, Miss Phyllis? Every winter about Christmas, I get the flu. You know, and I'll probably get it. It happens every year. Now, that's what I used to say. Now I'm not putting any mustard on. That's what I used to say. And I'd get sick every year. But then I got some wisdom. And I'm thinking, why in the world would I be saying that? It's not doing me any good. Come on. Amen. So you got to get in the Word and find out His thoughts on it. God doesn't want you sick. No. You've been redeemed.
That's right.
You're redeemed from sickness. So why not just say what the Word says?
Amen.
So there's some things, it's going to take a while for that ship to turn. Because listen, but it's turning. Why? Now, how you know it's turning? The Word. It works. You know what? The Word works all the time.
Amen.
If you work it right, it will work for you. Your only job to do is to believe. You believe the Word. It'll work for you. You enter into a rest. You let the Word. Just let the word work. Now you're going to have to make sure your mouth's doing the work. And there is a labor of entering into that rest. But listen, it'll work.
Yeah.
Verse 6, we'll jump right in this. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And now get them. This one I'm trying to get, verse 6. And sets on fire the course of nature. And now let me read this out of the Greek. The Greek, the original translation says, sets in motion. I'm talking about the words you speak. Don't think they're not doing anything. They're working. They're setting things in motion. Who's doing that? Not God. You. You are the subject here. You. It says, sets in motion the cycle of natural events. Now do you see why the devil wants you to speak his thoughts? And God wants you to speak his thoughts. Why? Because you set in motion your direction. You set. Anyone in the right mind, I'm assuming we're all in the right mind here. We want to go in the direction that God has set. Well, you're going to have to get in line with Him. He said it. You don't want to alter what He said. You have to get in agreement with the Word and flow with Him. In other words, you're going to say the same thing, which means your confession means to say the same thing. What did God say about your health? What did God say about your finances? You have to say the same thing. You have to get in agreement with Him. What he's, this is very, this we're just going into an introduction here, because I may be on this all summer, if Pastor Mark allows me to do this. This is some strong stuff. I mean, you think about it, you setting things in motion. You could, right now, you could be saying, well, man, nothing's working right, but you could change it. You say, well, I haven't been saying things right. I haven't been speaking right. But hold it now. You can change it right now.
That's right.
You can start sending out faith-filled words right now. Amen. You can change the whole thing. That's why God is so merciful. He's full of loving, tender kindness. He's just waiting for us to get our minds renewed, to think His thoughts, and to start speaking what He says. It's game changer.
Amen.
You know, they talk about game, was it game over? Or, you get this. It changes everything. I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying overnight, an overnight sensation. No, I'm not. It takes time. Listen, a lot of times we spent life, when you know, the way I used to speak, I didn't catch on to this till I was probably in my 30s. So all those years before, I just been speaking what was on my mind. No problem. I just blab it out. But I learned. I said, okay, now this, you know, if I'm setting things in motion, I don't want to set my life in motion to destruction. I want to set my life in motion to life, the God kind of life. So therefore, I want to speak the God kind of life. I'm going to have to speak what He says. Now listen, Now this will get the enemy's attention. Remember when Jesus said, He told the disciples, let us cross. He just spent the whole day teaching about seed time and harvest, right? Mark chapter 4. And now it's time for a test, right? He said, okay, boys, let us cross over to the other side. Now, Jesus only spoke the words of the Father. John constantly, in the Gospel of John, constantly saying that Jesus spoke the words that He heard the Father. That's the reason why He's fully developed. He spent time in prayer. He spent time in the Word. He spent time. We'll get to that too later on if we have time. But anyway, He spoke, let us cross over to the side. Now that is a rhema. Now I'm not going to get too far in this, but that's a rhema word from God. Now how you know that? Because Jesus said the same thing. He's saying what God has spoken. When Jesus said, let us cross over the side, that's not Jesus speaking random words. Those words came from the Father. And that was a revelation, that was random words, random rhema words that Jesus spoke. It was given to Him. And He gave it to the disciples. Let us cross over to the other side. Okay, so they all got in a boat, right? They headed across, right? They're going in the right direction. They're going across. Okay, but this is a test for them. But they are going across because Jesus released those words. He spoke the words. They're going across. But disciples don't, they don't really have a full understanding of it. They go halfway across. Now they're no longer, now the storm hits, right? The storm is now talking. But Jesus already spoke what the Father said. They're now not speaking those words. They're speaking the words of the enemy. The storm. What did Peter say? He talked about, Lord, don't you care? We're about to go down. This is it. Bye bye. What happened to the words of God? What happened to the words that Jesus spoke? Those words are still there. He's waiting. Listen, Jesus is asleep. God was waiting for someone to speak. I guarantee only, this is a test. They flunked. Yeah. It was an open book test. He gave him the word. That's what you're supposed to be confessing. That's a rhema word for you. Let us cross over to the other side. Peter, he's the one that's always talking. So let's just pick on Peter. Peter should have stood up and said, yes, we're going across to the other side. I guarantee you the storm would have ceased right then. Why? Because he's confessing the same thing God said. And that's the whole story, but seed time and harvest, the sower sowing the word. Jesus sowed the word in them, but the devil took it out. He got them so convinced, they forgot about the seed. Jesus spoke that seed into them. They got into the boat, right? Did they not believe? They believed. They got in the boat. If they didn't believe it, they would say, no, we're going to stay here, because they believed, so they got in the boat. But their endurance was short-lived because the enemy came in and put something else in their mind, their thoughts, and they took the bait. We're about to perish. Now, whose fault's that? Was that God's fault? No, that's on them. Your words. Of course, Jesus had to rebuke them. Jesus had to rebuke the storm, call in peace. But listen, don't allow the enemy to put thoughts in your mind and you take the bait. Stick with the word. The word will take you to the right place at the right time. It always works. There is no such thing as the word not working. The only problem, people say this, I hear this. You know what, Brother Chuck, you know what? You know, if the devil's mess, if it weren't for the devil, I'd be there. If it weren't for the devil, if the devil's doing this, no, hold it now. The devil's defeated. The only thing that's not defeated really is your flesh. That's something you have to put under. Your flesh, that's the reason why you have to renew the mind, because your flesh will start, it has its own appetite. It has its own desire. The flesh is the flesh. It profits nothing, right? That's the reason why you have to allow the word to take its place and put the body in its proper place. You're the one in control. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead to Proverbs chapter 18. And we all know this one. I mean, it's pretty common. Proverbs 18, verse 20. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Notice the imagery. Notice the words he's saying. It says the words that we speak produce. Amen. They produce fruit. There's increase. There's a harvest. Amen. Verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who eat it or love it will eat its fruit. That's good or that's bad. There's only two options. There's really nothing in between. Death and life. I don't know about you, but I choose life. Well, what's life? The word. Always put the word first. You put the word in you and allow it to marinate meat. You let it soak. Spend time in the word. Just soak yourself in the word. Let your mind soak into it. Just spend time meditating, allowing the word to have first place in your life. You'll find Listen to me. You'll find the word coming up out of you more often than what you'd ever imagine. And not only that, you'll start picking up His desires. This is why you spend more time with Him. You'll pick up what He wants. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Right? And He'll give you the desires of the heart, of your heart. Well, those desires really come from Him. Because He'll give you desires. He'll do Ephesians 3:20 on you. Things, He said He wants to do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, you start thinking according to the power that worketh within us. But you start thinking and meditating His word, you start picking up His ways, His thoughts. And you're finding, oh man, that's big. Well, see, that didn't come from you. That came from Him. Because you're spending time in His presence. You're spending time with Him. And now you're picking up some desires and you're thinking, whoa, now I can't, hold it now. I can't do that. Well, no, you can't. And that's designed for that. You need Him. So He'll give you desires that's far beyond normal thinking. That's from Him. Because with Him, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. You can do it. But you're going to have His help. That's what He wants. He doesn't want you doing it by yourself. You start doing stuff by yourself, you're going to end up in frustration. You're going to end up things just not going to work out. But if you yoke up, that's a whole nother message, but you yoke up with Him, now you're going to get things done. You're co-laboring with Him. That's why He's designed it to do. So you spend time with Him, meditating in the Word, and you start picking up some things that He wants you to do. That's His thoughts. Then you start speaking them out. Well, Lord, if that's you, which I believe it is, because I have a witness in my spirit. I have a peace about it. So I'm just going to start speaking those things out. Ah, now you're seeing change. Because now you're speaking the very thought that He put in you. In your heart. You have to remember, it's coming through you. Speaking words of faith. Why? Because faith's of the heart. When God tells you to do something, you're the mouthpiece. God needs a mouthpiece on this earth to speak, to get in agreement with Him. You get in that agreement and things start to happen. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now turn with me to Psalm, I think Psalm 107, verse 2. Psalm 107. Verse 2, another familiar scripture. It says, are you there yet? Hallelujah. Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Notice, is He does not say, He does not say, let the redeemed think so. Right. Well, the Lord knows what I'm thinking about. I don't need to say it. There is a place for thinking, obviously. But there comes a point, faith needs to be released. Yeah. The main way faith is released is by saying. You're going to have to say it. Not just think it. He doesn't even use the word believe. Well, James said even devils believe. But you're going to have to say. If you want your marriage to be redeemed, you're going to have to say so. If you want your finances redeemed, you're going to have to say so. If you want your health redeemed, you're going to have to say so. In other words, you're going to have to say something. It's not just going to happen. Well, I just thought God would do something. I've been thinking about it. He knows. I've been worried about this, and I'm thinking, he knows my thoughts. Surely he's going to do something. That's not how it works. He will not work that way. He has his way of working, the law of faith.
Yes.
He's not going to, there's no variance in this. You're going to have to say, you're going to have to speak. Well, that's you're just trying to put me in bondage. You're trying to tangle me up. You're going to have to say, you are made in the image of God. You're going to have to speak. When God changed Abram, and Pastor Mark talked a little bit about this. When God wanted Abram, let me put it this way. God told Abram, I changed your name. I want you to say your name now is Abraham. Now, why would God do that? Why would God tell Abram to change his name to Abraham, the father of many nations or the father of multitude? See, God's not playing games here. God's not in heaven. Well, let's play around a little bit. He's got guys old. Let's just play around with him a little bit. No, God is very serious. God changed his name to Abraham. Now listen to me. Abraham is going to have to say this.
Yeah, right.
Not think it. He's going to have to say it.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, not just me, I guarantee you the first time he said it, it probably seemed a little strange. And I guarantee you people were looking at him laughing. Come here, guys. You want to see this? This guy said he's the father of multitude. He doesn't have anything except one kid, Ishmael. He don't count. Look at this guy. But the more he said it, the more he said what God said, God's idea, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Guess what's happening? He's saying it. And he's saying it. Come on, he's saying it. Something's happened. It took a year for this to happen now. A little over a year, according to some of the Greek Hebrew scholars that I've been reading. It took a little over a year for this to happen. So when he said Abraham, he don't have nothing. But he had to say it. What's he doing? He's making a deposit. He says it again. It's growing. It's getting stronger. Come on. The ship's turning by the words of his mouth. This is God's way of operating. This is God's way. And he's saying, I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. A year later, here comes Isaac. What are you saying? This is how God operates. And that's how we are to operate. Abraham, he's the father of our faith. Pastor Mark just talked. He is our father of faith. We are to walk in his steps. He's our example. Abraham talked. But he had to, now listen. Just stick with the word, right? That's what he did. His name's Abraham. You keep saying it. What does the word say about you? Say it. Who you are in Christ. In him, scriptures. Keep saying it. Acknowledge him. And you'll find your faith coming to a place it is working, actively working for you because of what your mouth is saying. You're releasing words. Saints, you can't get away from this. I don't care where you go. If you want to have a successful life, you will have to get the mouth in line with your heart. So what did God do with Abraham? Isaac came through Abraham and Sarah. God's not going to do it some other way. He's going to do it through you. It has to be a faith. The faith that, where's faith reside? It resides in you. There's no other way about it. Now turn with me to, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. The NIV says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. It says, follow God's example. Well, isn't that what Abraham did? Isn't that what Jesus did? Now, this is where people make fun of us. And I see it every now and then on the internet. Not very often, because I really watch who, you know, there's a lot of ministers, just, they are not, I don't know what, where they're from. But because they'll speak, I mean, bad things about Copeland, and they call us blab it, grab it, name it, claim it. Well, you know, we confess, we possess. I mean, I'd rather be in that club than the sick and broke club and speaking what the devil's saying. See, a lot of ministers, I mean, I don't know where they're getting their work studying from, but the word's pretty plain. It says here, we are to imitate God. When God did anything, what did He do? The first thing He did was He would speak. Light be, light was. He didn't talk about how bad the dark was. Well, it's really dark. It's dark. It's really dark. I don't know. It's dark. There wasn't 3 or 4 verses on that. He just said, yeah, it's dark. So God's not denying, but He speaks the answer. Light be, light was. We are to operate just like that. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Now we're going to look at Isaiah 55 in another, and kind of another angle. Isaiah 55 verse 10, it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and did not return there but watered the earth and made it bring forth and bud, that it gave seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, that's what I'm trying to get at. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Now, here's the question. Should we not be imitators of God? Should we not follow His example? Now, this is God speaking. You're not God. I'm not God. But we are sons of God. We're made in His image. We're in His class. We are speaking spirit. Now, that changes everything. So again, you're not God. He's the performer. We believe and expect. But verse 11 is exactly what we should have in our mouth. The Word. So shall... You got to make the Word your own. Personally, you have to make it your own. So shall my Word. We're talking about the Word of God. Let me quote. This is Luke 137 in the Amplified Bible says, no word from God shall be without power or impossible fulfillment. In other words, God has put power in His own word. And when you take the word and make it your own, personally, make it your own. You are to do this. It says, my word. That's we should be speaking this. My word in me that goes forth from my mouth. We should expect things to happen. Now, I'm not saying you say something really, really stupid like, well, I believe God for, you know, for 15 oil wells. It's got to be in line with the Word. You know what I'm saying? Don't get crazy. Just go with, stay with the Word. Just stick with the Word. It says, shall not return to me empty, void, but shall accomplish what I pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Underline that word, sent it. Who's going to send it? Well, God sent it, and we're to act just like Him. Right. Send it. Right. Well, when do we start doing it? Now. Well, turn with me. It's not really my notes, but turn with me to Psalm 91. I'm going to close. Let me close with this. Psalm 91. Well, I've said this is part one. We're scratching the surface here. Psalm 91. Let's just close with this. You got to make the Word your own. Now, how you do that? This is going to tell you right here. This is how you make the Word your own. This is how you take it and make it your own. He says, the first two verses will determine if you have the rest of this. If you don't get the first two down, you're not going to get the rest of the benefits. It says, that's me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You know, most Christians have no idea there is a secret place. There is a place that you can get in His presence, usher in His presence. You can do that right at home. It's a sacred place. It's a secret place. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is rich. We can go on with this. But verse 2, here it is. Verse 2. I will say. Now notice, he's coming out of the secret place. He's coming out of the place he's been spending time with the Lord. He's coming out. He's spending time in prayer in the presence of the Almighty God. And notice the boldness of verse 2. Notice what he's saying. He's saying, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Listen, look at this. My refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you. Listen to this. Listen. If this is how we should be, saints, we should spend time in His presence, in the secret place. Shut the door. Get along with Him. Get in the Word. Spend time. Renew your mind. Spend time with Him. You'll come out with a boldness. You'll come out speaking the words of God. You'll come out saying. If you're not saying, He's not doing. Right. If you're not saying, God's not doing. That's exactly what He's saying. Saints, is our words important? Yes. Words are taking us places where we should go. God has designated places for you to go, but you're going to have to get in the secret place. You're going to spend time with Him and get the mind of God. That doesn't come automatically. That's some work. That's some labor. But it's a good labor because you're spending time in His presence. You're spending time with Him. And now all of a sudden, light, revelation start to shine. Ah, you want me to do that? Ah. Things, the Word. See, revelation is the food of for the spirit man. Revelation, light. He begins the opening up. The opening up of His Word brings light. Hallelujah. This is important. So our words are taking us. Let me say this in closing. Yes, our words are taking us places. But you want to make sure you're speaking the Word, His Word, faith-filled Word. So you got to get it from here to here. Again, Abraham I would say more than likely he's thinking, Abraham, it's all up here. But he starts saying it, you start believing. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. That's the reason why confession is so important. Just confess the word. You're having trouble in certain areas, confess the word. Listen, in Psalm 91, then it talks about the angels getting involved. Whoa, are you kidding me? Yeah, angels getting involved. They're waiting for your words. Jesus talked about in Luke 12, 5 or 8, he said, you confess me, you confess me, which is me is the word. You confess the word, and that's still be in line. You confess me, the word before man, openly, publicly before man, and I, the Son of Man, will confess you before the angels of God. Say, and you will, yeah, now you're going to say, I know, I hear you say, well, Brother Chuck, he's talking about being born again. Yeah, but he's also talking about salvation. Salvation is more than just being born again. Right. Having your ticket punched going to heaven, there's a lot more to it than that. Yeah. So he is your high priest. When you confess what he confessed, you confess his word, and he is your high priest. Jesus is not at the right hand of the Father doing nothing. He is your high priest. And he's a high priest over your words. And he's taking your words and then he's confessing to the angels who give heed to the voice of his word. Things happen spiritually. You may not see it. Obviously, we don't see things in the natural. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, nothing in the natural seemed to be happening. But he spoke. He spoke words. Spiritually, they went to work. Yep. Jesus was fully developed in his faith, in his faith walk, in his words. Things were happening. Even for him, even for Jesus, when he spoke to the fig tree, nothing happened. Nothing was noticeable until the next morning. Then Peter, of course, said, there it is. What happened? What happened to the fig tree? What words? Words dominate. Yep. So words important? Hallelujah, stand to your feet.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.